Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. Within the self-consciousness section of Hegel's Phenomenology, one of the key developments that he narrates for us that tells us about the very nature of our own self-consciousness is what we can call a doubling and ambiguity. There's a play on words there going on of consciousness. And he's doing this primarily in paragraphs 178 to 184. This is prior to the struggle to the death and the ensuing dialectic of mastery and slave, or lordship and bondage, that people tend to focus on. But this is a very important aspect of self-consciousness that he's revealing to us. The relation to the other is at the same time a being related to the other, because by the very fact of being related to another self-consciousness, there is already a mirroring or duality going on. If I am relating myself to that person out there and I'm doing it as sort of another me or somebody similar in structure to myself, as another human being, they are similarly doing the same thing in relation to me as well, at least at this stage of the dialectic as Hegel is narrating it. So he tells us that self-consciousness exists in and for itself only through, by, existing as such for an other. So this means that self-consciousness cannot be what it is without existing in relation to an other that also relates itself to that self-consciousness. So let's talk very briefly about this in and for itself language. Hegel uses this quite a bit. He'll distinguish between being in itself, which is the being of an object, you might say a kind of inert being, sometimes it can be dynamic, and then being for self, which is what we typically do associate with self-consciousness. I exist for myself by making my own self an object for my own thought or my own action. By asking myself, what should I do today? I'm already treating myself as being for self. And the goal for Hegel over and over again is to have these fuse together in some sort of dynamic equilibrium or harmony, or however you want to put it. Hegel would put it in terms of a greater unity that's thereby attained. But this unity cannot be, this is one of the key ideas, cannot be attained except by a kind of duality, a duality of self and other. So you can't have being in itself or being for itself or both of them without existing as such for an other. In a certain sense, if you do have being in itself and being for itself, it's never quite stable. You can't be certain, to use Hegel's favorite term here, you can't be certain of your being in and for self unless it exists in terms of another. And this brings us to this key notion of recognition, Anerkennen in Hegel's German, which is getting fleshed out here a bit. The structure, the nature of human recognition of each other and its reciprocity. So Hegel tells us as we go through this that self-consciousness is faced by another self-consciousness, and he says it has come out of itself. And this introduces to us the what Hegel's calling the first ambiguity. Now, this is something I think is worth talking about. The Greek word that we get ambiguity from, this ambi here, means both. Or two, right? So when we say something is ambiguous, we don't mean that it's unclear. We mean that it could be interpreted multiple ways. And any unclarity that comes from that is precisely because of that ambiguity. It's a term that a lot of people misuse because they mistake ambiguity for unclarity or fuzziness or things like that. Strictly speaking, it means that there's multiple ways to interpret the situation to make sense out of things. The German word really captures this well. Doppel, the word we get, you know, it's a cognitive double from, doppel, Sinn. Sinn means meaning or sense. So when we say that a term has more than one sense, and each of those senses is legitimate, we have a Doppelsinn, or perhaps a, you know, a triple or a quadruple or whatever sense. But this adequately captures what we're talking about here, because the self-consciousness is trying to figure out how it exists in relation to the other self-consciousness. So it looks at the other self-consciousness, and Hegel says, in a sense, it loses itself because it goes out of itself and then finds an other, a different person who isn't it and who is independent of it, who could withhold that recognition, who could say, I don't care about you, you don't matter. Or who are you? Or whatever other sort of comportment we can think of. On the other hand, it also recognizes the other self-consciousness as other self-consciousness precisely by seeing its own self in that other self-consciousness. So what I put here is the self of self-consciousness exists outside of itself in an other, and there's desire for that on the part of that first self-consciousness that we are considering in this process. So he says it's lost itself, or it finds itself as an other being. In doing so, it has also superseded the other. And this is another key Hegelian term, aufheben, which we might think of integrating into a greater whole or transcending, sometimes as nullifying. It's trying to negotiate its relationship to the other by figuring out, how is that other like itself? How does it find itself in the other, in the eyes of the other, or in the action of the other, or in the desire of the other? So Hegel then starts talking about ambiguity here. And he says, what we have is a first ambiguity, right? And we transcend that or supersede that. And that then, this supersession of otherness, becomes a second ambiguity. What does that mean? Hegel is telling us that there's multiple ways in which this can be interpreted. You could think of this as a situation in which multiple resolutions are possible or are suggesting themselves to this self-consciousness that is now confronting, engaging, hoping for something from its other who it is encountering. And he goes on and tells us that it has to supersede the other independent being in order to become certain of itself as the essential being. This is integral to Hegel's treatment of self-consciousness. In his view, we are constantly engaging with the other in such a way as to try to remove the independence of the other and to have them fit into the ways in which we see things, the ways in which we want things. This is a constant struggle for people in relationships ranging from romantic relationships to colleagues at work to people trying to talk across cultural or ideological divides. This need to make the other fit into one's own categories stems, Hegel thinks, from a desire to attain certainty of oneself through the other. And the other sort of has to be fixed in place in order to provide that. But there's a paradox here. And in this case, it's that, well, what's this other doing? Is the other just taking its cues entirely from me and what my desires are and what I'm telling it? Or is this other, since it is another me, perhaps more independent than I thought it was? It also exhibits the exact same agency, the exact same desire, the same loss, the same seeing the self in the other. There are two people here, two self-consciousnesses confronting each other. And so Hegel goes on and says, in superseding the other, I supersede my own self. And I also find out that the other is doing exactly this same stuff in relation to me. He says, this movement of self-consciousness in relation to another self-consciousness has been represented, because we had to represent it in some way, as the action of one self-consciousness. But the action of the one has the double significance of being both its own action and that of the other as well. Again, this is something that is really fundamental to human beings. I'll give you a prime example of how this works. Thinking about reciprocity. When somebody does something and they say, I'm going to do this and it's going to affect the other and I want the other to respond to it in a certain way, the other can come back and say, well, that's fine, but I'm going to do that too. And then this other over here oftentimes will say, no, I meant it a different way. You know, you don't have the same qualifications or circumstances. But this other over here can say, you're really, you know, fudging things. If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander, as the old expression goes. What we have there is an ambiguity. We have a Doppelsinn. We have a double interpretation. One person is doing one thing and saying, I need to interpret it this way. The other person is doing the same thing back, and their action is being interpreted in a different way when it comes to impact the first person. This is the case of, to use another folk expression, people who can dish it out but can't take it, right? We say that of a number of things. That is a reflection of a lack of reciprocity that Hegel thinks is quite likely to emerge from these situations where we have self-consciousness attempting to attain certainty of itself in its relationship to the other. What we have to recognize is that both of these are on each side. So there's a doubling of self-consciousness as well as an ambiguity that is taking place. He tells us, the other is equally independent and self-contained. There is nothing in it of which it is not itself the origin. This is a very important thought. Many people in their relationship as self-consciousnesses, trying to attain recognition from other self-consciousnesses, do not understand that what they're seeking is inherently paradoxical. What they want is recognition from another and other self-consciousness who must be independent in order to actually grant recognition. If they want to be acknowledged as self-consciousness existing in and for itself, they need to get that from another being that is likewise in and for itself. And this applies, again, to both sides. So he goes on and he tells us, the first does not have the object before it merely as it exists primarily for desire, but something that has an independent existence of its own, which it cannot just utilize for its own purposes. If I reduce the other merely to an object of my desire, I lose the other in the process and do not attain what my desire is. So he says, thus, the movement is simply the double movement of the two self-consciousnesses. Here's where a mirroring takes place. Each sees the other do the same as it does. Each does itself what it demands of the other, and therefore also does what it does only insofar as the other does the same. Action by one side only would be useless, because what is to happen can only be brought about by both. That's a very important consideration there. We can't get what we actually need in terms of reciprocity by simply demanding it or by attempting to provoke it, on the one hand, exercising our agency, or by receptively trying to seduce it out of the other. There has to be a mutual recognition taking place in determinate circumstances that acknowledges that both are the other to the other, that acknowledge that both are motivated by desire, that both are looking for recognition from somebody who is an equal. Whether or not that is possible depends, and this is the last thing that I think we should talk about here, depends for Hegel on what historical stage of consciousness we have attained. We're going to see that in the master-slave dialectic, where you don't have a high level of culture to provide sort of an apparatus to mediate recognition, the two consciousnesses, the two self-consciousnesses, are going to have to engage in a struggle to the death. One is going to have to subjugate the other. That is not where Hegel wants to ultimately go, and he thinks that human civilization has progressed beyond that, not fully, but to the point where at least some are able to attain recognition without resorting to that. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.